about why we don't hear God regularly. Because if you take a survey of Christians, most Christians will tell you they do not hear God on a regular basis. I stood in a church in Yerevan, capital city of Armenia, a very spirit-filled, alive church, and said to the 500 people, "How many of you people hear God on a regular basis?" And no hands went up. Not even the leaders' hands went up. So there is an issue, and it's being addressed around the world. If you keep track of who's preaching what and where, most leaders are now teaching their people on how to hear God. Amen? So the Bible says that all people, that's you and me, have sinned and failed to fulfill God's plan and purpose for their life. That's in Romans chapter 3. And that the consequences of that, the wages of that sin, is death. And that's Romans 6. And death isn't death as in die. Death is separation from God now and forever, unless you deal with the issue. The Bible also says, that's the bad news. Here's the good news. While we were yet sinners, God sent his son Jesus to pay the penalty for our sins because he loves us. I mean, not because of something we did, it's because he loves us unconditionally. I mean, God is crazy in love with us. I mean, just seriously, crazy in love with us. And he wants us to have a personal relationship with him. So, the message is, the good news is, the word gospel means good news, is that God loves us and that God gives because he loves. People in love give gifts. Amen? Okay? And that all we have to do is believe, and that really means to trust in what he accomplished on the cross, and then to receive it. And that's all found in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God gave, and he gave a gift called his Son, that whoever believes, trusts in, and receives the gift of eternal life is born again. And so, the last verse in Romans chapter 6 is that the gift of God is eternal life. And when we accept his death as payment for our sins, and when we repent, which simply means change the way you think, because as you think, so you become, and you ask for his forgiveness, then you are born again. Jesus said in John chapter 3, you need to be born again to see the kingdom, born again to enter the kingdom. And that gift of eternal life is a personal, daily, in-depth, ever-deepening, dynamic, and excitingly unique, because you are unique, love relationship with God. We sang about it. That's the gospel. We're in the 15th anniversary of 7-Eleven. That's what's happening, and that's not a place to go get a Slurpee. The Twin Towers in New York. Don, come up and share what you were sharing with me earlier, please.
Thanks, Ralph.
Yeah.
It's that anniversary that Ralph spoke about, and it occurred to me this morning that 9-11 is, you know, my generation's JFK assassination. My parents talk about where they were when JFK was shot. In other words, they knew, of course, everybody knows, if you're of a certain age, where you were, what you were doing, what was going on at that moment. 9-11, of course, is true for those of us who've been around long enough. We all know where we were, what we were doing. I was in Moncton, New Brunswick. I was walking downtown by a strip mall, and there was a TV store with a dozen TVs all on at the front of the store, and there was a crowd gathered around. So I went over because the crowd was there, and people were gasping, and I saw them all staring at the screens. It was just filled with smoke, the screens. I couldn't see anything. I said, "Where is this?" And a guy beside me sarcastically said, "Paris. They're blowing up Paris." "You moron," was the subtext. But all I saw was smoke. And then the scene cut to the unmistakable skyscape, cityscape of the horizon of New York and the Twin Towers in their last moments of existence. We all have a similar story. We all know exactly where we were. And it struck me only this morning that it is also true, if we are truly born again, We have a story. We have a moment. We have a time to tell. We have a testimony. And it should be as definitive. It should be as clear. It should be as true as telling your story of where you were 15 years ago today when you saw those towers coming down. And that is something we need to search in our hearts and say, is it there? If it isn't, that's as concise a summation of the gospel as you'll ever hear. What Ralph just offered is clear, straightforward, a truth. If we're not sure, we have a born-again experience as real as our memories of 9/11. And if we do, then we need to share it. We need to offer it as part of being this world's light, shining in the darkness for Christ's sake. Thanks, Ralph. Is that that?
No. Thanks, Don. If you have a relationship with a person, God's giving you a relationship with him if you're born again, then you need to hear the other person. You need to listen carefully to the other person. I'm married. Listen carefully to that other person. For 43 years, I've been listening carefully. And you also have to be able to spend time together with that person. Well, it's the same if you have a relationship with God. You can't just slough it off with 5 minutes in the morning when you pray your daily need list, your shopping list. God's not interested in our shopping list first. He's interested in a deep relationship with us. And so when you read scripture, that comes up very clearly. The early apostles, disciples, not just the ones that you read about in the scriptures, even those that were saved after Jesus ascended into heaven and the church began, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, that's God, Jesus is God, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, we have seen it, we testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen, heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship, our relationship, our talking, seeing, hearing, touching, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship is simply to talk and to know and to hear and to spend time together. That's what I do when I fellowship with you over coffee or a meal afterwards. And that's all God wants us to do, to spend time with him, to fellowship. But you have to see, hear, touch, and you can do that if you're born again. It's not always easy, but you can do it. Someone say amen.
Amen.
And not only do you do it as an individual, but we come together and do it as a church. So when you come together, and church is us, and you go home and you think that was a sucky service, it didn't go anywhere, it's not the service, it's you. It'll go wherever you take it. All we do is offer you ingredients, and you do what you want with the ingredients. And so if you come pumped with Jesus, and you've been with him all week, you know, spending some time every day, then Sunday will be a blast. But if this is the only time you ever think about Jesus, Sunday's not going to be a blast. And so as we come together, we should be sharing fellowship with him and with one another. That's the whole purpose of the Christian church. So we have this gift called eternal life, the supernatural ability to have a personal relationship, to relate to God on a personal level. So here's my points for the day. Number one, believers, that's disciples, people who have been born again, born physically and then born again spiritually, true believers hear God's voice on a regular basis. I don't care what your experience is. I don't base my life on experience. I base my life on the Bible. The Bible says in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice. Not only that, but it says a little later in the same chapter, my sheep know which voice they're listening to is my voice. And then it says even a little later, it gets harder, my sheep follow or obey my voice. Because when God speaks, we should be listening and doing what he tells us to do. So all believers, according to the Bible, true believers, true disciples, true born-again Christians can hear the voice of God. The problem is, which voice is his? But it says we can know which voice is his. Second point, if a born-again disciple of Jesus is not hearing God's voice on a regular basis, then maybe it's because you have not learned to listen and to hear. In your head, you have numerous voices. You have the voice of the music you listen to, 1950s. You have the voice of your peers. You have the voice of your culture, where you grew up, the culture that you're part of. You have the voice of religion sometimes. You have all these voices going off in your head. And the problem is they all yell at you. They're all very loud. And Jesus talks in a whisper, always. So if you're not being still and knowing that he is God, you will not hear his voice nor recognize it amongst all the other voices. So one of the reasons born-again believers would say, I don't hear God's voice on a regular basis, is simply they've not learned how to listen and hear and discern which voice is his. Second reason we don't often hear the voice of God is hearing God's voice, but we simply don't recognize that it is God speaking on a regular basis. Thirdly, if a born-again disciple is not hearing God's voice, third reason, you expect God to speak inside your box. Because you have some desires, you have your will, you have your dreams, you have your safety and comfort zone, and if God doesn't speak within those box, that box, you don't hear him. I did a whole sermon on that about a month ago. No, nowhere in the Bible does God speak what people want to hear. We went down a whole list of the people the other week we were talking about this. So if you have expectations about what he's going to talk about, and he's going to keep you safe and secure and comfortable, you won't hear his voice, because he never does that. Okay, so number one reason people don't hear God or recognize the voice that is God's voice is that we expect God to speak inside our box. So break the box open, please. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So let's just review that a little bit. Isaiah was told by God to walk naked through the city for 3 years. Not what he wanted to hear. Outside the box. Ezekiel was to lay on his side in public for 430 days and cook his food over human poop. Not exactly what you'd wake up wanting to hear. Amos married a prostitute who would cheat on him and have children by other men. Not exactly your to-do list when you graduated from high school. Mary was pregnant, and she was only 15 years old, an unmarried teenager getting pregnant in their day and age was not a neat thing to happen. It wasn't a whoops. So we want to hear God tell us things, and if that's the limit we will listen to, then we will never hear him, because he's going to always tell us things we don't want to hear that are not in our comfort zone. Amen? Okay. There's a fourth reason we don't hear God, and we have a update. Hang on. I love PowerPoints. The next reason you don't hear God is you have not followed through on the last thing that the Holy Spirit spoke to you. And God doesn't waste his time, nor does he waste his words. So if he said something to you and you haven't done it yet, then he's not going to say anything else. So if he spoke to you in your heart at your morning Bible reading, or he imparted quietly into your heart something during a time of prayer, or he spoke to you through the advice of a trusted friend or believer, or heaven forbid he would speak to you through a sermon or a teaching or something someone said in church, and you're not moving in what he has spoken to you, and you know when you hear God, then he's not going to speak again. He'll wait until you do what he asked you to do. Anytime that I have gone through a quiet period and realized that it's really not a quiet period, it's really God has stopped speaking, I can trace it back to something he said in a prophetic word or in my private prayer time, and I ignored it. But I knew it. and he'll remind you of what it was. And then if you go back to that spot and move forward from there, you'll hear the voice of God almost immediately. So God speaks his plan and his purpose into our lives. He tells you what he wants you to do. He wants you to do it and when he wants you to do it. A timing question. He tells you who you're going to do it with. And he also tells you what it is he wants you to do and why it is he wants you to do it and what he's expecting is going to be the result of what he's calling you to do. And he's not going to be ignored if he speaks. Let me suggest that there might be a word for that. If God speaks and you ignore him, that's rebellion. That's a nasty word. Jesus said, if you love me, you obey me. So you hear, you do. To me, this whole thing is real simple. It's not complicated at all. Okay? And last but not least, if you're a born-again disciple of Jesus and you're not hearing God's voice on a regular basis, it's because you're not listening to what he's already spoken in the written word. Don't ignore our Bibles. God gave them to us for a reason. Amen? So in the Bible, for all born-again believers, there is a basic series of foundational things he's asked us to do. And if we're not doing them, why would he tell us to do something more? If we haven't got the foundation, he's not going to build the building. So I want to unpack that one just a little bit, because this is really where the rubber hits the road. The basics, as you see them in the New Testament. Number one, you have to be grounded in love. The Bible says, be rooted and grounded in his love. Amen? Okay. So, the three scriptures are there. Love God with all of your being, your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Then you're supposed to love yourself because God created you, he designed you, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You may think there's a fault in you. You may want hair on your head and you don't have any. But God knew from the beginning what you were going to look like near the end. And then thirdly, you're to love all others, believers and non-believers. So the question would be, are you walking in love? If you're not, you won't hear God's voice. Because it's basic. God is love. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love never fails. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Faith works by love. So love is the real base, foundational issue. So here's what you got to do. That means you have to love everybody unconditionally. You have to accept everybody as they are. And you have to forgive everybody when they hurt you or offend you or smile at you when you don't want to be smiled at or don't smile at you when you wanted to be smiled at. You have to love, you have to accept, and you have to forgive. Because God loved you, and he loved you unconditionally. He accepted you just as you were and are, and he forgives you every time you mess it up. So he's just expecting us to act like him. That's the base. One of the very serious basics. So, the Bible says, secondly, that we are to go into all the world on a daily basis and look for opportunities to tell others about Jesus. Don mentioned that in his little talk. We need to know that we're saved and go tell other people what a difference that has made. Amen? Thank you. As you go about your daily, everyday life, Matthew 28 says, you should be making disciples. The way you make disciples is to share what Jesus has done in your life as a disciple. The Bible says we should be testifying about the hope that is in us. 1 Peter 3, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. But do it with gentleness and respect. If you live principle basic number one in love, people will notice and they will come and ask you and you get a chance to give your testimony because you're going to be living so different than everybody else. What are we talking about? The foundational issues in the Bible that we need to get underneath our lifestyle so that we can hear God on a regular basis. Number three, you need to guard your heart and you need to guard your head. What you watch, what you read, what you listen to, it goes right into your spirit if you're born again. And it's affecting you. I sit and watch occasional television program with my wife, and it can be 5 minutes into it, and I know I've got to turn it off or get up and leave. Because inside, I feel there's something wrong. It's affecting me the wrong way. That I don't need to see this crap that's up there that I turned on. And so you need to be very, very careful. And the Bible talks about that. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Aren't you glad it's a living sacrifice? Trouble being a living sacrifice is you crawl off the altar occasionally. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Be careful what you hear, what you read, what you listen to, what you watch. Philippians 4, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. So if you're watching television and that peace, that sense of inner peace begins to wobble, that's the Holy Spirit telling you, get out of the room, turn the TV off, watch something else. And this is basic to hearing the voice of God. If that peace disappears and there's all this confusion and turmoil inside, you never hear God. Basics that you see in the New Testament, number 4, if you haven't noticed yet, these all start with a G. That's exciting for a teacher. You have some good works to do, which means to touch others with acts of kindness. Whatever way you do that is great. Ephesians 2:10, remember 2, 8, and 9 talk about being saved by grace through faith, not of works. But then verse 10 says, now that you're saved, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's everything from baking cookies to praying for people who are sick, whatever. John 14:12, truly, truly, I say to you, that's a very nice way of Jesus saying, listen up, I'm not lying. Whoever believes in me, that's us, will do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. So the things Jesus did, we're called to do. Okay? So miracle signs and wonders are to follow the believers, according to Mark chapter 16. Are you still with me? These are all basic to hearing God. All right, I'm sorry it's down low on the screen. I was doing this in the front seat of my car. The basics of the New Testament, number 5, you have to be gripped by his word, 1 Corinthians 15. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you. We need to get that word inside of us. We need to memorize it, meditate on it, think about it, and then we need to live it. And so we really need to allow the word to grip us. Amen? So Philippians, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Isaiah 66, as believers, we're called to tremble at it. When was the last time you trembled at his word? I mean, literally read it and went, whoa! This is awesome, or whoa, I'm in trouble. So we need to be gripped by the word of God, and then God will begin to speak other things on top of that. Number 6, you need to be guided by the and directed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides you, directs you, teaches you. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said, I'm going to go and I'm going to send you another comforter. Why would you need someone to comfort you if you're already comfortable? The reason he sent the comforter is because he knew that in this world we would have trouble, we would have issues, we would have people we don't like, we would have ISIS, we would have people getting elected to the President of the United States. And so he knew we need to be comforted. And so we honestly, we really need to be guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. So John chapter 16, verse 13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. And he will not speak on his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. 1 John 2, the Holy Spirit is the teacher, it says, and he lives within you. So I can teach you, but there's a greater teacher already living inside you. And he teaches you right from wrong. He teaches you what direction to go in. He teaches you when you're listening, whether or not something said is really from God or not from God. So we need to be guided and directed by the Spirit, not by our feelings, not by our opinions. Gee, if I did that, I would not be doing most of what I do today. Okay? Number 7, you need to be giving to others. Because God is a giving God, and you're to be like God, and he is an extremely giving God. In Scripture, in John chapter 1, verse 16, I think it's the Old Living Bible, which became the New Living Translation. It says that when it says Jesus came full of grace and truth, it literally says he came blessing upon blessing heaped upon us. That's a good definition of grace. That deserve it or not, God is heaping blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon us. And because of that, we should be giving and blessing other people. And Acts chapter 20 says it's more blessed to give than to receive. So what are you giving? You give of your time, you give of your love, you give of your effort, you give of your emotion, you give encouragement, you give support, and you have to engage to do that. You can't be passive. You have to be looking for places to give, looking for places to touch other people's lives. Okay, next one. You need to be governed by the Holy Spirit. That word is controlled, but that wasn't a G, so I put the word governed in there. Okay, this one I've taught you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine, because that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. It's simply saying, if you are drunk with wine, alcohol is controlling your thoughts, your attitude, your actions, and your words. So don't do that. But allow the Holy Spirit to control your actions, your words, your attitude. That's all it's saying. So we need to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Or governed. Number 9, you need to be glorifying God in your thoughts, in your attitude. Do you always have a good attitude that glorifies God? Come on. I just spent 5 days in Manitoba ministering from 6 in the morning, honestly, 6 in the morning through till midnight every day. By the time supper came, my attitude was not great. So, and when you're working with teenagers who are the age 15 to 21 all the time, your attitude can really suck. And I was writing this as I was going along during the week, and I'm thinking, ah, oh, darn, maybe we just leave number 9 out. No. This is the one I have trouble with. This is the one I work hard at, because I have some horrible thoughts about certain people, and I can cut people to shreds if I'm tired. I say it the wrong way, and it just, people bleed for weeks. Come on, I'm not alone. You do the same thing. And then when you do that, God doesn't speak anymore. He really doesn't. Number 10, you need, if you are born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit, to be moving in the gifts of the Spirit. You'll seriously hear God then, because 4 or 5 of the gifts of the Spirit, you have to hear God to flow in them. And so we can't just ignore the gifts of the Spirit. What are the gifts of the Spirit? They're found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And they are a working of miracles, gifts of healing, special faith, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, prophecy, public tongues, interpretation of tongues. Those are given to us for a reason. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. The way you witness is to flow in the 9 supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. When you got baptized in the Holy Spirit and you can speak in tongues, the power is there. You may have turned the switch off, but the power is there. Turn the light on. Amen? You don't do witnessing. You are the witness. That's a real key thing, folks, because we used to... Where I've just come from this afternoon, they go out every Tuesday night, knock on doors, and go witnessing. God never asked us to do witnessing. He asked us to be a witness. Huge difference. Live your life in such a way that you're different. 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says, my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So do something that requires power. Number 11, last one. You need to be grafted into the local church. That's the Bible calls that the body of Christ. And everyone is a member of the body, which means you're either the finger or the nose or a toe or the foot or a hand. And if you're not engaging in the life of the church, then the church is without a hand or without the nose or without an eye. And it will continue, but it will continue limited because it's missing something. That something is sitting and not doing. And so you need to be connected. You need to be engaged. We need to be active. We need to be functioning. We need to be interdependent. Darn. You see, I'd rather just do it myself, thank you. And if you just get out of the way, you know, I read a book once, I thought I should have written it. It said, lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. And that's sort of the attitude that I've spent most of my life. And then you realize that when you're a born again Christian, you can't do that. Because even if you're leading, you have to take somebody with you. And if you're following, you're going with someone. Amen? And you don't want people to get out of the way. You want them in your life. You want them to be engaging with you. Because that's where you grow. That's where you develop your life. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he desires. So if you're here, it's because God brought you here. And if you get mad and just get up and leave, and God didn't tell you to go somewhere else, you're in trouble. God will stop talking. Because you left the body he put you in. That, again, is not exactly obedience. And there are times I have thought of leaving the church that I work with in Regina. In fact, I thought about it Saturday, Friday, Thursday, Wednesday. If I left every time I thought about it, I'd have left 40 years ago. Amen? So, all I've said is that you can hear God's voice. You can know which voice you're listening to is God, so that you don't make a mistake, and you should obey what you hear. Because that's what John chapter 10 says. If we are born-again believers, not carnal Christians, not cultural Christians, not church-attending Christians, if we truly have this personal born-again relationship with a living God who talks, and we have fellowship with him, we need to struggle through whatever the issue is that's preventing us from hearing his voice. And there are times I have some issues to struggle through. Trust me. We all do. But it's worth the struggle to be able to hear the voice of God. Wow. You think about it. The God who created this wonderful universe talks to us. Isn't that amazing? That's awesome. And I'd like to hear what he's saying. That's even more amazing and more awesome. So we need to be working with that in our lives. Amen? Amen. Amen. So bow your heads with me and pray.